Thank you, Brother Allen. I think once again I want to go back to the beginning to start and probably cover the whole works. Leave out a lot because there's too much to cover in 1 hour or hour and a half or day and a half, whatever time you want to talk about. But our foundation, where we start from, I think is important to think of every once in a while. So I want to read from the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the light that was good, saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Days, morning and evening, one day. Not 10,000 years or a billion years, but one day. Then I want to turn over to the sixth day. The sixth day. That's verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I've heard several stories, most of them kind of in jest, of what Christ looked like, you know. Betty had one that she tells once in a while, that some little boy said, you know, what does God look like? And she said, well, nobody does. He said, well, I'd have a picture. I drew a picture of God. But do we know what God looks like? Certainly. He looks just like me. I was created in his image. So he looks just like me. Got 5 fingers, 5 toes, 2 eyes. Just like me. Well, he might not be gray-headed. He might not be blonde. He might not be brunette. But he looks just like me. And he looks just like you. Because we are created in his image. What I'm trying to say is God does not look like a tree or an animal. But once in a while we find people that want to worship trees because they think God is involved in the trees. Well, of course God's involved. He's involved in everything. Mother Nature causes the plants to come up in the spring when the ground turns warm and the daffodils come up. But who's Mother Nature? It's God. Call it whatever we want. A rose is a rose under any other name, it's still a rose. And God is still God. We can call it whatever we want, it's still God. I don't hold myself up as a perfect image of God, but what I'm trying to say is that he looks just like me because I am his creation. You are his creation. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb of the bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Six days of the creation. Really not seven, but 6 days of the creation. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. It was all finished. 6 days. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and because that in it he hath rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up in the midst of the earth and watered the but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of the Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The head of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, and that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Well, the Euphrates is still there under that name. The other names I don't believe are still with us, but I suppose that the rivers are still there. We probably have some other names for it, but now. God went ahead, and of course, in the first chapter, it tells a kind of a summary of what happened in the 6 days. And then in the second chapter, it goes back and retells it with a little more detail. Not a redoing of it, but just telling a little more detail. Creating man first, and then creating woman. I think you all know the story. You know, well, I believe. And that God told them that they weren't to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan said, oh, it's okay. You can go ahead and taste of it, and you can know good from evil. And that was all right, what he said up to that point. But God also said that in the day that they tasted of it, they would surely die. Then Satan said, no, that you won't die. Well, that was the lie part of it. So we have to be careful that we don't lie in any way, shape, or form. It's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. But this brought to bear the situation that the earth has been in. Well, mainly all the time from Adam right down to our time. And I don't know whether I can safely say past or not, because I don't sure how much past is going to be. Might be several years, might be several days, might not be any days. This I don't know. I have no way of knowing. But because of that transgression, it brought the need for repentance and for a refreshing or rejuvenation or restoration or resurrection, as the term is most proper. And God made the plan of our salvation sure by causing Christ to come and be resurrected. Of course, he couldn't get be resurrected, but first he was killed. And the fact that he was killed was preceded by his ministry, and that was preceded by miraculous birth, a birth from a virgin mother. And this we have to accept. If we're going to accept any of the New Testament, we have to accept that Christ was born of a virgin mother. And without the New Testament, without Christ, when our body is laid into the grave, that would be the end. But because of that resurrection, the body then is only temporary in the grave. We then have a resurrection. That resurrection doesn't restore us to righteousness. It restores us to the body and the soul in an immortal state, in a state that will live and not suffer the ills that we have, the sicknesses, the deterioration of the body, the aging. But when that resurrection comes, if we have been righteous, we will be righteous still. If we've been filthy, we will be filthy still. So it is with Sister Irene, who is to be laid to rest in the ground to await that resurrection. What can I say good for Sister Irene? Not much that she hasn't already said. In her way, if she lived her life in the righteousness, in the faith, in the trust, that she had in God. She suffers terribly for several years. But without fail, when some of the ministry went, she wanted to be administered to. And she would testify to her faith, to her trust in God. I say without exception. I guess Ellen administered to her yesterday? Yes, yesterday. And maybe she was too far gone to have a knowledge, maybe even that he was there. I don't know whether did or didn't. But God knew. That's what's important. Not many hours, I guess, after they were there until God released her from this life to be reunited at a later time. How much later? I don't know. But it appears, when reading the scriptures, that it's not very long. Not very long at all. I really didn't mean to get into that conversation, but it just seems appropriate. From the 13th chapter of Matthew, 12th verse. 13th chapter, I'm going to start with the first verse. I don't know why I said 12th verse. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. Farmers would understand that. Some city people might not. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. I found it when that term is used. He that hath ear, let him hear. There's really something significant to what is being said. In other words, pay attention, listen up. As the words we might use today. And the disciples came and said unto them, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that shall have, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away from even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. This says Isaiah, but that is Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Yes, there would be many prophets that would have liked to have seen Christ. I'm talking about the prophets of old. Isaiah, Jeremiah, any number that you want to call our names would have liked to have actually been there and saw what they saw and heard what they heard. But they didn't. Many would like to also see the restoration of the church in our day and time. But they were not allowed to. They were not permitted to. But we are aware. We know it isn't our time. But we, just like these here in Christ's time, some closed their eyes, some didn't listen, some didn't hear. Many do that right today. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom, what's the kingdom? What's the kingdom? I think it's the church. God, Christ, built up his kingdom. It was his church. And his kingdom today is his church. This very church that we represent. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which had been sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. This is the people that we talk to. Alan and I. Romy, Nancy, Betty. Anyone. Not just a ministry, but anyone. Because you're all part of that kingdom. You may not be officers in it, but you're part of the kingdom. And when you tell your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, many will just listen and let it go in one ear and out the other, so to speak. This is what is referred to as the stony ground. No place for it to take root. This is which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Some people you talk to, they get really interested. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Be that as dureth means endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So some that you get a little interest in, somebody tells them a little bit of something different, and it's taken away from them. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and care, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now these are the ones of us. Let us accept, take hold of the gospel that they've heard from their friends, from their mother, father, from the preachers, whoever. And they take hold. But the problems of life, the cares of the world, we read it again. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. We must be careful that we don't let the things of our lives, the things of the world, the things we need to do, sometimes things we want to do, take away our righteousness. Our children were here last night, and they had a pretty good trip home today. But I wish they would stay for church. But they felt like they didn't want to, something. But if they had really wanted to, if it had been a ball game or something, they'd have stayed. So we have to be careful that we don't let their things that's around us preclude us from going to church, from enjoying the love and fellowship of brothers and sisters. Skip down to the 33rd verse. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude of in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house. And the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Well, I skipped that part. But the leaven is something that will cause everything to arise and ferment together. I think this is sometimes used as a parable as that which is not right, but also many times it is something that would cause everyone to be together. And we have amongst us a leavening agent, in my opinion. And because of this leavening agent, we have a young man that's laying in the hospital at Springfield, suffering. But I think it is a leavening agent that will cause us to join together and to be united in our love for one another and for him and for his wife and for our families. Sometimes it seems that it's necessary for someone to suffer for us to bring ourselves to a greater closeness with one another and with God. Several years ago, Brother Sheldon came to Oklahoma and nearly passed away when he was living in our house. Not living there, he was visiting our house, I should say. And I guess it was about 10 days of time that he lost track of entirely. He just didn't have any idea what happened during those times. But it strengthened my faith. It did a lot for me. And I think it did a lot for a lot of other people. I think it did a lot for the whole church. In my opinion, he was allowed to suffer for our edification. But there is a time coming. I guess I want to start reading in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Starting with the 23rd verse. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ. Starting with the 23rd verse. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he ascended angels, and with a sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Didn't say it, not of that time, but that day and hour. He just told us that in a parable before, when you see these things, know that it is coming nigh. And I believe we can rest assured that it is coming nigh. But we don't know whether it's going to be next Saturday and whether it's going to be 11 o'clock or not. But we may know that it's going to be this year or next year. I don't know whether, just what detail there is here. But I don't believe that just saying, and no man knows the hour and the day, precludes the fact that God may reveal to us what will happen in the near future. Matter of fact, I'm expecting him to reveal to us. He hasn't revealed anything to me, but I'm expecting him to. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, not my Father only, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, that's certainly happening. Had been for a good while, though. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood come, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, I just said I'm expecting they to be some warning. And here it's saying that there wasn't any warning. But yes, there was warning. Noah was warned. He preached to the people for a long time. So yes, there was warning. He didn't heed it. To the ones that don't heed it, there's no warning. But if he heeds the warning, then there is a warning. Left. Which is the fortunate one? The one that's taken and one that's left? Well, certainly the one that's left. We just read up here that the flood came and take the others away. We don't want to be taken away like the flood was in Noah's time. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. And I think we could say, be ye always ready, but the scripture says, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Not very many minutes ago, I was tempted to say that we don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be a while yet. But we don't know that. We don't know that any of us are even going to get to our homes. We don't know that. Oh yes, if thing goes on like it has, it will. We'll have lots of time. But we don't really know that. At such an hour as we think not. And this would certainly seem to me today that a time that we wouldn't expect it to be. But it can be. Who then is faithful and wise? Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Those that are struggling to be of service to the household, to his own household, that they might have meat. That wouldn't only be food to eat, but spiritual. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And I almost was about to say that, wasn't I? And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Well, now, I hope I haven't been doing that. And to eat and drink with the drunken. Well, I haven't been doing that. The Lord of thy servants shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have I got 10 minutes left, or is it gone? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. What are lamps for? The lamps, do they show light? Well, what's a door for in a house? Is that to close up the hole? No, we put a door in the house so we can go in and out. If you didn't want to go in and out, then you wouldn't have to put a door there. So the purpose of the door is to get in and out. The purpose of the lamp, to make light? No. We burn oil to make light. The purpose of the lamp is a place to burn the oil. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now this is talking about virgins. I think this is talking about the Church of Christ. I think it's talking about people in the Church of Christ. And if we don't have some oil, we don't show much light. Yes, we're members of the church, but if we don't have some oil, we don't show much light. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And what is this oil I'm talking about? Our spirituality. Our spirituality. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give me of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Lamp don't make much light, does it? I got a kind of a hint while ago that lamps made light, but lamps don't make much light if there's no oil. Our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was there for a purpose to let them in, wasn't it? Not to close the hole particularly well, but to let them in. Yes, it was closed. It did close the hole when it was shut, yes. and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Guess it don't make much difference really whether he comes yet today, yet this year, yet this century, or another century or two away. If we do not have oil in our lamps, if we do not have our spirituality, then we're lost whenever the time. And if we are prepared, whenever it comes, it doesn't really matter. If we will stay prepared. And there's no way to plan to be prepared tomorrow or next week. Because if we plan to put off our preparedness, we will always be putting off our preparedness. It's necessary that we make our preparations and that we keep ourselves in a high state of readiness for that hour and that day that Christ will return. That we be found suitable. That we be found worthy to be called the sons and daughters of God, the sons and daughters of Christ. But we have a side benefit of this high rate of preparedness. And that side benefit is the love and association with others of equal faith or similar faith. That we support one another. That we give our love and we receive their love. And that we give both of us love to God, from whom all blessings flow. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Our dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this time that we have spent before Thee in the study of Thy Word and for the message that we have heard this day, and pray that we will prepare our lives, we will prepare ourselves, that we might be ready for that day and that hour that You would come again and receive us unto Thee. I pray that we will set our lives straight, that we will do the things that You have set us aside to do, that You have called us out of the world to do, and that we might lay those things aside that are not correct in our lives, that we might examine ourselves and see what these things might be, and set our feet upon that straight and narrow path, and that we might be prepared within our hearts, that we might have that oil to let our light burn, to let our lamp shine, that we might have that righteousness and that faith that we need. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are suffering because of the loss of their loved ones. We know that Rondell is deeply grieved because of his loss of his companion. But again, we know that he rejoices because she is away from her suffering and is in paradise with Thee. So I pray that You will bless them. Continue to be with Chad and his healing, and with his wife and family, and the healing of their hearts, that they might come to Thee. We pray that You will keep us each and every one safe as we travel to our homes and wherever that we might have to go this day. Help us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. These things we do pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus.